Adam saw his wife sin in the garden. In the distance, God saw a cross.
When Cain killed his brother, God was watching, and God saw a cross.
When Moses slew the Egyptian man in anger, God saw a cross.
And when David chose Bathsheba over honor, God knew there had to be a cross.
God saw a cross being raised on the horizon. God saw his son being slain for one and all. God saw his blood being shed for my redemption, for every fall. God saw a cross.
When I was born, the world just saw a sinner. Thanks to Jesus, God saw a cross. And when I first rejected his great offer, I'm so thankful God still saw a cross. And with each wicked choice I walked in darkness, my God saw. So blinded by my sin, my soul was helpless. With eyes of mercy, God still saw a cross. God saw a cross
being raised on the horizon. God saw his son being slain for one and all.
God saw his blood
being shed for my redemption, for every fall. God saw a cross.
And when I finally gave my heart to Jesus,
I saw
from
a cross. On the horizon, God sees his son being slain for one and all.
God sees his blood
that was shed for my redemption, for every fall. God sees a cross. God sees a cross.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Philippians in chapter number 1. Philippians chapter 1. Thank you, fellas, for that special tonight. And as you turn there, we have an addition to the church family. Miss Adele is here with baby Rebecca hiding in the stroller there. And is there a, like, don't look, don't touch, stay 10 feet away sign or anything? No. But good to have you here, and what a blessing that is. To have a little Rebecca here. Love seeing babies in the church. Amen? And that's exciting to see. And got another one coming here in a little bit, Brother Drew. And looking forward to that as well. Philippians, he's not having the baby, by the way. His wife is, if you weren't sure about that. Don't want to get you scared here. All right, Philippians 1, would you stand to your feet as we read just one verse, verse number 6. I'll read that first, and if you would follow along and read that with me. Philippians 1 and verse number 6. Philippians 1 and verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Would you read that with me? Ready and begin. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the night. Thank you for meeting with us already and speaking to us through the songs and offering and through the time just getting to fellowship together. Thank you for a church family, Lord. You've been so good to us. Thank you for the cross that was sung about a couple times tonight now. Thankful for the cross. Changed my life forever. Changed my eternity. May we never get over the cross. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Philippians chapter 1. In my Sunday school class, we just finished teaching through the book of Philippians this morning. So we're going to start back over again and teach through it again for those that were sleeping during the previous lessons or missed it. Not doing that, but I enjoy teaching the Word of God. And I enjoy getting to teach through books of the Bible. And so in Philippians 1 and verse number 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath, what's the next word? Begun, the Bible says, a good work in you. The God that began a good work in you. When did that moment begin? The moment of your salvation. Amen? I believe we could go back and say that good work began the moment that God created you. And that God, you were fearfully and wonderfully made in the hands of an almighty God, not an accident, but created by God and in the image of God. And I believe that's the beginning of God's work in you. But I believe, spiritually speaking, that God began a good work in you at the moment of your salvation. Never get over getting saved. Our choir sings about that. I've never gotten over getting saved. Don't ever come to church a single day and be bored singing Amazing Grace. Amen? Don't ever get bored singing How Great Thou Art and singing about God and I'm a child of the King. That should thrill our soul every time. Amen? I'm saved today just as much as I ever have been and as much as I ever will be. And that's the day that a good work began. Right? The moment that you got saved, the moment that I got saved, don't get bored with your salvation. Amen? Right? Amen. Don't get bored with your salvation. He began, the Bible says, a good work in you. And that work that could only be done through the Savior. Right? That work of salvation could not be performed by us. How many false religions out there? How many people are steeped in false religions? They're being lied to by a man, by a prophet, so to say, that would say if you pay some money and you get baptized and you do these good works and go on these missions, then you can work your way into the favor of God. What a shame that is, right? How sad that is. People that are on their way to hell, sincerely wrong and lost because they're trying to do the good work in their life. I can't do it. Amen? I can't do that work of salvation, and neither can you. If you're trying to work your way into the favor of God by saying a flowery prayer, sometimes we think, well, I don't know if I'm saved because I didn't say a good enough prayer. I'm thankful for the moments in the Bible where someone got saved and they simply said, I believe. Amen? I remember I think of the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and he explained the scriptures from the book of Isaiah. And as Jesus was a lamb led to the slaughter, and he says, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Save first, baptize later. Amen. And he says, you must believe that Jesus is the Christ. And he said, I believe. He got saved. Amen. Just as much as anyone got saved. They went down into the water, baptism by immersion, came up out of the water, not sprinkled. I think I told you this before. I found out a few years ago I was sprinkled as a baby. I didn't know that. Like my mom surprised it on me someday and brought me a certificate that I got baptized as a child. So I'm rebaptized. I'm an Anabaptist. I don't know. but saved and baptized. But God began a good work in you. Right? In you. Salvation must be yours individually. Amen? It's not about your family being saved or being on staff or being a teacher, that you must know that you are saved, right? You must know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, that he began a good work in you. You can't rely on someone else's testimony of salvation, right? I'm not trying to get anyone lost, but if you're on the fence, you need to get on one side or the other, and I suggest the side that Jesus is on. Amen? It's not our doing that he began a good work in you. It's not like I worked my way into the favor of God and God said, ooh, you look good enough to go to heaven. No, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Here's the thing. He began a good work in you, and the Bible says he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, that he will perform it, that God is still working on me to make me what I ought to be, that God is working on my life. I'm not a finished product. God is working on me. And I think sometimes that God looks at me and said, I'm still working, but you should be a little closer now than you were before, right? We should be getting a little closer today. But until the day calls, until the day that God calls you home or the day that Jesus returns, he is working on me until the day that he comes back. Amen? I'm trying to be more like Jesus every day. Every day, right? That's our goal, isn't it? I need to be more like Jesus, not by Sister Sowens. I'm not trying to be like Sister anybody. My brother so-and-so or sister so. I'm not trying to be like someone else. We get too much into that today, don't we? Trying to be like someone, and if you're trying to match someone's social media standard and, you know, they're only posting the best of everything and how great it is. They don't post the fights and the messy rooms and the screaming at the kids, and they don't post that stuff, all right? You think they've got it all figured out. No, they don't. They're trying to figure it out just like you are. So don't think that someone else has it figured out. But he began a good work in you and will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Are you ever done learning? You're not. Remember our seniors getting ready to graduate this coming year. I remember thinking, I can't wait to graduate. I thought my senior year was never going to end. All right, I was that one. It's never going to end. And I was like halfway through it. And I thought, when I graduate, I don't have to learn again. I was like, wait, I signed up to go to college. When I go to college, I'm like, I'm never writing a paper again. That's all I do now is write papers over and over and over again. I didn't realize writing a paper was studying to preach. All right? And I thought, I'm never done learning. I'm never done studying. I'm never done growing. And here's the thing. I'm never done trying to be more like Christ. Right? I'm never done. He's the goal. And guess what? If the goal is Jesus Christ, I'm never going to get there. I can keep trying and I'm working and I should be getting closer, but I'm never going to reach it. But we should never be done learning more about God, more about the Word of God, growing as a Christian. You're never done growing to be more like Christ. Never too old to learn and not too young to learn as well. I learned this. Kids are smart. They pick up on things, don't they? How come kids don't learn the things you're trying to teach them, but they hear one thing that someone else says and they repeat and you're like, whoa, 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 where did that come from? Blame it on the grandparents or the uncles or the somebody, I don't know, on teaching that. But kids are smart. I love our kids are learning. They're growing in their classes. They're learning about the Bible today. We're asking the girls on the way home and so what did you learn in church today? And one of them said, we learned about God creating the animals. And then the other one said, no, we learned that in class. They're in different classes. And I was like, okay, you both learned the same thing today, okay? Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. We could ask the teachers later. I'm not really sure, but they learned about them today, I guess. I want to challenge you tonight about this message that's titled, Never Done Learning. Never done learning. I'm never done learning, growing, trying to be more like Christ. I'm kind of titling the night of an impromptu, if you will, a back-to-school Sunday night. And we start school tomorrow morning, and the kids are pumped about it. I was asking the kids coming in tonight, and I was asking your kids over here, Annabelle and Teo, and I said, are you excited about school tomorrow? And Annabelle, yes. Teo's like, nope. Head down, like, I don't even want to look at you when you talk about school. And it's funny. You get, like, sometimes you, like, opposite sides, and one's excited, one's not. But I want to give you a challenge tonight. This is for our kids, our parents, but this is for adults as well. We're never done learning. Amen? We're never done growing. So I want to challenge you with that thought and give you some introduction for the message tonight. This year in our Shasta Baptist schools, as of now, things change in the next 14 hours sometimes. But as of now, we have 38 students planning to come to Shasta Baptist schools and homeschool this year. What a blessing that is. We had someone text me yesterday. Do you have room in your school starting on Monday? I was like, It's Saturday. We start in 2 days, and public schools have already started. I don't know what you're planning to do. We do have members only for our school, and that's what we've done and what we always will do. But we have a great amount of students coming in our school. We're not looking to get the largest amount of students in our school, but we're trying to teach them about God, trying to help the families to grow and to help point your kids to Jesus Christ. That's our goal, trying to help strengthen the family, strengthen the home. This year we have 3 seniors this year. Can I get an amen from the seniors? All right, I was going to hear that somewhere. We have 8 kindergartners. Pray for our kindergarten teachers this year. 8 of them. I don't think we've ever had 8. And so, Lord, help our kindergartners and our teachers, really, this year. And we've got one of those. We've got a first tomorrow. It's been a little bit for a first for us. And looking forward to that. We have 3 new students coming in the school this year that aren't kindergartners as well. And so some you may be meeting and getting to know them as well. We have a couple from a Church of Like Faith joining our school as well. We have 10 Bible college students coming up this year. So with back to school, and the college students are as excited to go back to college as our students are, other than there's one. There's one really excited, and I think has nothing to do with school, everything to do with a guy. And pretty sure that's the case, right? We know that. She's told me that, all right? We have 2 of our young people getting ready to graduate this year. Brianna and Aaron are both going to be graduating coming up. Both finishing in December is the plan. And so it's exciting to see. And we have young people in 3 Bible colleges this year. Several staying locally going to college as well. And with that thought in mind, we're never done learning. We're never done growing. It is 262 days until your graduation, Brianna. Are you counting it down yet? I counted it down for you. Actually, Siri did it for me. Aaron's got 263 days. I think he's the day after you, from what I heard. He's going to confirm it with me. And our seniors, they have 292 days till their graduation. I expected much more of an amen than that from our high school seniors there as well. Never done learning. Never done growing. I want to challenge you, parents, students, and us older people that are still learning and growing in our lives as well. And with that thought in mind, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Again, a reminder, I thought when I'm done with school, you turn the tassel, you get the diploma, I don't have to learn anymore. And then you get a job, and then you get a home, you get a car, there's always learning, growing, and then spiritually speaking as well. I want to give you 5 points tonight. If you're counting the points, that'll help you with that. 5 points tonight to help you in this understanding with getting back in this mode of learning and growing to be more like Christ. Number one is this tonight. I want to challenge you with this thought. Is this for parents, teachers, older folks alike. Is this number one is be teachable. Be teachable. He that hath begun a good work and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know the hardest person to teach? The one that doesn't want to learn. The one that knows it all. They've got to figure it out. They're smarter than the teachers. They're smarter than their parents. Smarter than their pastors, staff. They're smarter than everyone. They've got it figured out. And they are not teachable because they've got it all figured out. Proverbs 9:9 says this, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Look at a person that's already wise. Give instruction to a wise man, he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. Young people, you want to have a great school year? Be teachable. Be teachable. Don't come to your teachers and say, I've got it figured out. The score key's wrong. The teacher's wrong. Everyone's got it wrong. It could be you that's wrong. Could be me that's wrong. Be teachable. Don't think you have it all figured out. My wife and I worked with youth long enough that there was certain teenagers. I could talk to the flags right here and get more response from them or the door handle. I could talk to them blue in the face. They're not listening. They've got it figured out. They're going to do what they're going to do, and I pray and teach and invest, but they got it figured out, and at some point you say, you're going to have to go figure it out on your own. We pray for you, but young person, be teachable. Older folks, parents, be teachable. Be ready to learn. To be teachable, you have to have a humble spirit, though. a humble spirit. Again, the hardest person to teach is one that has it all figured out, because that's what you call pride. Pride. If I have it all figured out, no one can instruct me and teach me and help me to grow, well, that's pride in my life. The Bible says pride goeth before what? Destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And we have pride in our life. We can't be taught. I've heard this message before. I know what they're going to, I've heard it. I know it. Just have it all figured out. Let's be teachable. Let's be teachable. No one can force you to be teachable. You have to be willing to learn. And you know what? To be teachable, you got to do this. You got to turn this off, and you got to open these up, right? You got to listen. Too many times we're too busy talking and not doing enough listening. Now, you got to ask the right questions sometimes, and when you can't, when you're not understanding, but be teachable. Let's not be know-it-alls, right? You know, someone, they know this, and you know something even better. Oh, I've got a better story. Just be teachable. Be teachable. I don't know about you. You have things that you like to learn, right? You have things that you, all right, I enjoy, all right, when you're over 40, what is it? You either get into grilling or smoking meats or reading World War II books. I think there's like a saying with that. I got into the grilling and smoking meats, and you have to say meats after smoking to make sure everyone understands what you're talking about, all right? I enjoy that. I could watch videos for hours. I could talk, I mean, right? I mean, you get, I enjoy it, right? And I watch the video, and I go, why did mine not turn out as good as theirs turned out? And I enjoy it, and I want to learn, and you watch the videos and take the notes and make more notes on what you did wrong, and you got to do it better next time. You be teachable. Be teachable. Let the Word of God sink into your life and be teachable. It's one thing to be in church. It's another thing to be in church. You know what I mean? It's one thing to sit in church. It's another thing to say, God, speak to my heart. I need this message. I need the Word of God. I need to grow today. God, help me. Wouldn't that be great, teachers? If students came tomorrow and said, please teach me. I can't wait to learn math. I can't wait to learn physical science and English and whatever. I can't wait. Please teach me. I want to learn this, right? You get the others that they're like, if looks could kill, you'd be a dead man, right? And parents, wouldn't it be great if your kids said, Mom and Dad, would you teach me how to do this the right way? I think I've been doing it the wrong way. Would you teach me the right way how to do it? We would have parents falling over dead right now, you know, because and parents, before we realize that we are not teachable as well sometimes, let's have a humble, teachable spirit. Number two is this, never done learning. If you're going to learn, we need to be wise. Be wise. Wisdom is more than knowledge. There's a lot of smart people out there, but there's not a lot of wise people out there. You know the difference? A lot of people that are very book smart. They've got a high IQ, they've got a lot of degrees and letters after their names, and they've got a lot of stuff. But the wisdom that comes from God, they don't have that. You can have a lot of book smart, but you can, if you had to choose to be book smart or to be wise, choose both. No, choose to be wise. See, wisdom is taking the knowledge from God and applying it to your life. Too many times as Christians even, we get a whole lot of head knowledge, and young people, we can pass the tests, we can answer all the Bible questions, we can get all the quiet sea prizes, but we've got the head knowledge. But wisdom is putting that into practice, applying it into your life. Young person, you're being taught a lot of the Word of God. How much of it are you applying? See, that's wisdom. You know, the difference between a wise and a fool is what you do with the knowledge that you have been given. A foolish person isn't someone that's ignorant and they don't know the Bible. A foolish person has been taught it and turns away from the truth. That's a fool. There's too many people that they're fools in their heart. They're learning it here, but they're rejecting it here, and they're turning away from God. Be wise. Be wise. The Bible says in Proverbs 9:12, and this passage we were reading before, if thou be wise, the Bible says, thou shalt be wise for thyself. If thou be wise, the Bible says, thou shalt be wise for thyself. You can't, guess what? Stand before God. You can't blame it on your brother and sister. You can't blame it on your classmates and your parents, your teachers. If you're going to be wise, you're going to be wise for yourself. right? Daniel could have chosen to throw away all that he believed, but he said, I'm going to live for God no matter what anybody else does. Wisdom, applying what he had been taught and putting that into practice in a life. The Bible says in James 1, if any of you lack wisdom, one of the wisest things you can say is, I don't know. I don't understand it. God, would you teach me? Would you help me? Again, that prideful spirit wants to say, I've got to figure it out. You can't teach me. You know how long I've been working here, right? Instead of saying, would you teach me, God? Would you teach me to someone that's trying to help you? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, the Bible says. They give it to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given to him. You know, what if we started every day saying, God, would you give me wisdom for today? Would you give me wisdom? I don't know about you, but there's days I ask for wisdom, and there's days I really ask for wisdom. You know what I'm talking about? There's days where, God, help me to have wisdom today. And there's other times I'm thinking about all that's going to come throughout the day. And I say, God, I need your wisdom today. Help me, God, to make wise decisions. If you're going to be learning, you're going to have to ask for wisdom. Solomon, he asked God for wisdom, and God, because he didn't ask for riches and wealth and all the others, God gave that to him, wiser than any other person. But the sad thing about Solomon is this, that Solomon, 700 wives, 300 concubines, can anyone tell me that that's not a wise thing to do, right? Not a wise thing. And then he started following after false gods. He had all the wisdom, but he wasn't putting into practice in his life. See, to be learning, you must be teachable, must be wise. We're going to go through these next few points a little quicker. Number three, be spiritual. Be spiritual. Young people, your parents are putting you in a Christian school, getting a Christian education, putting you in church, not because they want you to turn out for the world, they want you to turn out for God. Amen? To turn out for God. I don't care if you ever become a millionaire, if you do come back and tithe, all right? Amen? I'm not worried if you get the biggest degree and make the most money and you have the biggest car and company, but if you are spiritual and you walk with God and you do the will of God for your life, you know how proud we'd be of you? Amen? Amen, parents, teachers, that you choose to be spiritual over popular. Choose to be spiritual over than having some title that the world says that you've made it and you've arrived. That you'd be spiritual. I remember as a young person thinking, when I get to high school, I'm going to have a real walk with God. Not that I didn't try when I was in junior high, but it was a struggle. You know what I'm talking about? And I thought in high school, man, I'm really going to have a strong walk with God. And guess what? High school came. And I still struggled with my walk with God. And I was working at it, and I wasn't great at it. I remember by my senior year, I told this story before, but I said, God, would you help me? And I said, with your help and strength, I'm going to read through my Bible from cover to cover. I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to read through my Bible. I remember my senior year. I know it's sad to say, but I went to Christian school from fourth grade on and graduated. It took me till my senior year to read through my Bible cover to cover. Should have done it many times before that. It took me a while to get through it. I thought, God, with your help, I'm not going to quit. Every day I'm going to get my Bible, and I'm going to do my best to read it. And if I miss a day, I'm going to catch up the next day. If I don't in the morning, I'm going to read it at night. And I remember as a senior in high school completing reading my Bible through. Young person, desire to be spiritual. I know we put a lot of praise sometimes. We better be careful, parents, praising all the athletics, but not praising the spiritual accomplishments in our young people's lives. Amen? Even as Christians, we praise more that they can make a shot or hit a ball or whatever it may be. We better praise the spiritual things in their life and make that a bigger importance. Amen? To be spiritual. Enoch lived 365 years and he walked with God. What else do we know about Enoch? That he walked with God and that God took him. 365, what else did he do that really mattered in life? He walked with God. No, but what kind of house did he have? He walked with God. How much money did he have? Well, he walked with God. You get the importance tonight? how important it is to walk with God. I remember going to college and I thought, when I go to Bible college, everyone is going to want to walk with God. And I don't mean this bad, but I was sadly mistaken that there was many there that did not desire to walk with God and live for God. I thought, when I go to Bible college, people are going to be serious about walking with God, and I was going to kind of ride the wave. And guess what? I had a desire to walk with God on my own. Young person, have a real walk with God. Get a place, get a time, get a plan, and get alone with your Bible. Put aside the distractions and just spend time with God. You say, but I'm in church every Sunday, but you must have a walk with God. But I'm going to Bible college, but you must determine to have your own walk with God. Because guess what? Bible college isn't going to carry you through. Sunday school is not going to carry you through. Your parents aren't going to carry you through. Only God can do that in your life. You got to determine to have a walk with God. Two more points, all right? Learning. Next one is this. Be a hard worker. Be a hard worker. Many people today, they don't want to work hard, right? People that you're in the general workforce, people come, they don't want to work. They want to do the bare minimum at best. I was reading a while ago, the greatest excuse is why people called in sick. Or why people called in so they couldn't go to work, because all kinds of ridiculous reasons. Be a hard worker. Nothing replaces working hard, right? And I'm not saying replace the spiritual part with that. You got to work at that too, but be a hard worker. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy what? With thy might. Be a hard worker. Whatever you're doing, do it your best. Give it your best. Give it your all. You say, well, it's just my job. Give it your all. Be a good testimony. Give it your all. Young people, if you're going to work, work hard. You say, but no one's looking. That's the true test of your character. When no one's looking, when no one's checking, no one else is doing it, well, you do the right thing. Work hard. God will never bless laziness. Remember the book of Proverbs, the man that he gave the excuses, oh, there's a lion in the streets and I can't go out. And people have all the excuses. Work hard. Don't live by excuses. Last one is this tonight. Never done learning. He that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Last one is this. Never done learning. Last is this. Be scheduled. Be scheduled. I am not a fly by the seat of my pants kind of a person. I schedule to be spontaneous. I don't know if spontaneous is not in my DNA. I try hard, but I can't do it. I'm not made that way. I'm not sure why. I'm not saying I'm the most scheduled person either, as well, but be scheduled in your life. People just wake up each day and go, I don't know what I'm going to do today. Have a plan. Have an idea of what you're going to do. You say, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Have a plan with what God has for you to do with that child today. Don't waste a day that God has given for you to invest in that child. Be scheduled. God is a God of order, right? He's a God of order. God is a time, a plan, a place. We don't always know God's plan, but be scheduled. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, let all things be done decently and in order. Be scheduled. Be prepared. Can I encourage you with this, parents? I was counting very quick in the room. I think we have 35, 40 young people in the auditorium tonight. 35 to 40 young people in the room tonight. Parents, I want to challenge you with this. Be prepared. Be prepared. Your children are learning and they're watching from you. And you're going to have to purpose to invest in their lives. Be prepared. Look ahead. Think ahead what God has for you to do and prepare. And prepare. Look ahead. Parents, the night before school, get your kids prepared. You say, well, they didn't have it ready the next morning. Prepare them the night before. Parents, you're preparing your kids for life. You're not just preparing them for second grade, right? You realize that? You're not preparing them for ninth. You're preparing them for life. How they treat school is how they're going to treat work someday. It's how they're going to treat their ministry, their spouse, their home someday. Look ahead. Prepare. You know, the things that you care about, you put a lot of work into them, don't you? Something you're excited about, something you want to do, and man, you research it, you look it up, you prepare, you put money into it, whatever it is, invest in your young people's eyes. Prepare them for success. Amen? Prepare them, teach them. Live by a schedule. Now, I don't know how scheduled you are, and that's obviously between you and the Lord, but live by a schedule. Parents, don't let your kids stay up till midnight. Right? Especially, don't let your kids stay up till midnight and you go to bed and let them do whatever they want until midnight. And I'm not joking. That's what most families do. You are throwing your children to the wolves if you do that. All right? Can I go a step further? Don't have unfiltered internet or TV access for your children at any time. Anytime. We have passcodes on everything. And it's annoying and it drives me crazy. But I'm not letting my kids just go filter through anything they want and YouTube it all night, because that's a black hole, right? Many kids, they stay up all hours of the night. Young people on your phones as you get older, you better have some accountability with that. You better have accountability. You say, oh, I'm 18, I got it figured out. No, you don't, and no, I don't, right? Live by a schedule. Don't let your kids stay up until midnight and wonder why they're not listening in school the next day. Parents, you're not helping yourselves, the students, or the teachers, all right? Live by a schedule. Have a schedule. What time are you getting up tomorrow? Amen. What time are they going to bed tonight? Amen. We got 23 minutes, Wyatt. We better get going, buddy. Or if you pay me more, we'll keep it going a little bit longer. Live by a schedule. Look at what you need to accomplish and help your young people to accomplish the goals in their life that they need to get done. You say it's their teacher's fault they didn't get the work done. Don't blame your child not getting an education on your teacher, right? They can't teach 38 children on their own. Parents, you got to be involved. Amen? You got to be involved in your young person. They come home from Sunday school. What are you learning? You have an assignment. Let me help you to accomplish that. Invest in your young people's lives. Have a plan. Can I encourage you with this? Be early. Amen? To work, be early. Don't be 5 minutes late. Don't do that to your boss, right? Don't do that to the other employees. You know that person that's always 5, 10, 15 minutes late? Everyone's picking up the slack for them, aren't they? You know that, right? In the workforce. Let's teach them now. Let's teach our young people. Be early. Hey, school starts at 8:30. Don't pull in at 8:29 and 59 seconds and run in there and I made it in time. No, that's late, right? Be there early. Help your kids to be prepared for success. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you this. Parents, look at the kids around you. That's an investment that God gave to you. That's a heritage that God gave for you to invest in their lives. Invest in them. You get a period of time to invest in their lives. Give it your all. Give it your all. Young people, students, boys and girls, you have people that are investing in your life, praying for you, teaching you, helping you, guiding you. Be teachable. Be listening. Have a plan of what you need to, especially as you get older, young people, have a plan what you need to accomplish. Why? Because God is doing a work in your life. Here's the thing, young people, you don't see down the road 10 years, right? Parents, you do. Do you pray for your kid and think, where are they going to be in 10 years? Sometimes I think about it, we could be grandparents in 10 years. It could be serving the Lord in 10 years, right? Could be, I don't know what God has for my children, but God has a plan for you. Invest in their life. Help and prepare them to serve the Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you stand to your feet? God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to be serious about learning and growing and drawing closer to